So we're back.
And we're back.
Just like that.
Just like that. Turn it off.
Oh, yeah. And we're back.
We're back live.
What up, people?
What up? Happy Monday!
Happy Monday.
Monday's with Mike and Marty, he's back.
We got a very basic topic for you today.
We do. We're your basic bitches tonight.
Basic bitches. Got my CBD oil.
Got my Sail Away, of course.
Put some in my coffee.
Yeah, you are.
Shout out to Tonic CBD.
What's up, Tonic?
Tonic CBD saving me.
You guys planted some dope plants upbeat.
You saw that?
Yeah. Guys doing work.
Just there for you guys to see.
Doing work up there. After you.
Oh.
Wow.
That was... Wow.
Maybe.
Wow, this is going to be good. The Cascade is so nice. Shout out to Sail Away. I love that.
The Cascade's the best, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It's nice looking. Oof.
Boom!
Shout out to Sail Away for fueling this podcast. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, guys. Welcome back.
Cheers to me having allergies and literally not being able to taste the Sail Away. I'm assuming it's good, because it always is.
It is really good.
It is?
So.
All right, I'll just live it through mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Just take it from me. It's very delicious. You guys hear us all right? We're good. We're good on the volume wise, so we're not screaming at y'all. Hope everyone's doing well. It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
With everybody.
Awesome. We got some 101 basics for you guys.
Yeah. We're going to take it back to the beginning.
Never forget the basics.
No.
A lot of people get too in-depth. With things.
They do.
And they forget the basics.
Take things a little bit too seriously, yeah. too, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Nadine. We did a promo tutorial video with Nadine at Mission.
Did you?
It was quite cool.
Did you?
Nadine's a superstar.
What up, Nadine? We're going to have to see that. Is that going to go?
That's going to go up, yeah.
It's going to go up somewhere?
On Instagram.
Okay.
And Facebook, I believe.
Okay. Up on the gram. Hmm. And,
Hey, Brittany.
Hey, Britt. What's up?
Sup.
A little plug before we start. If anyone hasn't seen my Facebook post, on November 4th, I am running in a race for my wife's job, Literacy Nassau. It's to raise funds for dyslexia. Because they're opening a new center for children with dyslexia.
Awesome.
So there's a link in my profile if you guys want to donate for my fundraising.
Hell yeah.
So
I'm gonna check that out as soon as we're done.
Just let us, you know.
What up, Kim?
If you guys want to join in, you know, I would greatly appreciate it.
I'm gonna
check it out. Helps a good cause. And yeah, I'm running 3 miles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice little 5K.
Yeah, a little 5K.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Hi, Kim. Did you guys miss us? Because I missed you.
Yeah, I missed you.
We missed you guys.
Vacations
and work, injuries.
Yeah. Screwed my neck up. Mm-hmm. That's why we didn't do last week. I literally couldn't even function, let alone turn my head or speak on a podcast, so... Instead of half-assing it for you guys, we figured let's take a week.
Figured take a week off. Rest up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know? It's good.
Yeah.
But your neck still hurts.
Yeah. Didn't do anything.
So.
Took a week off from the gym. Took it easy at work. Didn't do anything.
Fair enough. It happens.
It does happen.
It happens.
It could be a lot worse, so that's why I don't complain.
I got you. No, absolutely. I was telling Mike before, like, I threw my back out, like, 3 years ago, and... If anybody's thrown their back out before,
Well, that's
it's the most fucking painful.
You can't do anything. You literally can't do anything.
And I'll completely tell you how I did it. I was putting my pants on. I bent over to put my pants on, pull my legs up, and I felt the most excruciating pain in my back. My wife thought I died, or I got shot, or something, and yeah, that sucked. And then I did it again the following year. It was good times.
Not putting your pants on again, right?
No. I don't remember how I did it this time. Last time.
Still sucks.
Definitely wasn't putting on my pants. However, I was also kind of fat. So
yeah, I was gonna say,
I'm sure that probably had something to do with it. Yeah. Me being out of shape. So I'll blame it on my fatness.
People were talking today. Like, I had some people were talking to me today, this couple, and they were saying how their kid is, you know, a young teenager, 12, 13, 14, whatever it was. They were saying how he's getting hurt in sports.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, that's pretty normal.
It's common.
But they were like, oh, like, I don't know, like, kids these days, like, they're getting hurt. Like, we didn't really get hurt when we were younger.
Mm.
And I literally went, you want to know why? And they went, yeah. I went, because they eat like shit. And I was like, people don't realize.
We also were outside, running around.
Yeah, these kids, they don't.
Doing shit outside.
Yeah. But, like, people don't realize that when you eat like shit, your body responds appropriately.
Yeah.
The inflammation is jacked through the roof. It doesn't matter if you're... That's why people are like, oh, yeah, but you're young. And I'm like, that doesn't matter if you're 12, 13, 14, 47, 26. It doesn't matter. If you treat your body poorly, it's going to react that way.
Mm-hmm.
The inflammation is going to be through the roof. Things aren't going to function properly. So, yeah, you're going to be more prone to injury.
Yeah.
People are blind to see that because they think food is just how you look. It's like, no, like, there's a reason why people who are super healthy heal faster from injuries.
Very true. Very true.
You know, like, and they were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It hit them, and I was like,
shit. I mean,
if your kid eats pizza and french fries and chicken fingers, I mean, a young kid is a different story. Like, 12 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old, it's a little bit more like, okay, like, you can explain to them, like,
it's
hey.
It's about that time you start transitioning.
Yeah, it's not you have to put them full-blown keto or paleo or any type of way. Just to maybe take one thing out a week and take it's all what you get used to. You know, like, yes, kids are going to like pizza and chicken fingers and stuff.
Eat
like,
eat your meats.
And you can also have your pizza and chicken fingers. You know, make
just
it
just don't
a,
happen as common.
Make
as
it a,
much.
Yeah, make it a balance. Do like a 60-40, then switch it to 70-30, 80-20. It's all what kids, it's all what you get used to.
It is.
I know kids, I know people, younger people who grew up on healthy food. That's just, my cousins, perfect example. My cousins, she's a viewer, Antoinette, she has 5 daughters.
Okay, wow.
Jesus.
Hats off to you.
And if it's anything she's meant to do, it's be a mother. Because her 5 daughters are, like, well-behaved. I mean, like, some of them are, like, in their teens now.
Yeah.
But, like, they're all well-behaved.
That's good.
She brought them all into the store the other day, like, a posse walked in. Rolled up, all my cousins rolled up, and they just sort of all
the whole
like,
clan
just like yeah. They literally, I introduced them to the Zevia sodas. They literally didn't know what soda tasted like.
Really?
They asked me what cola tasted like, Coca Cola.
That's interesting.
And, like, as happy as that made me, I was taken back.
That's interesting.
Because like my cousin was like, oh, she was like, oh, like, you know, I don't ever give them soda, and I was like,
that's good.
A lot of people say that, like,
right.
Like, right. Even if you don't give them soda, like, most of the time, like, they've at least tasted soda.
Sure.
Like, she's like literally, like, they literally never have tasted soda. Like, they don't know what Coca-Cola tastes like.
Huh.
Like, they asked me what Dr. Pepper tastes like, and I was like,
hats off to your aunt.
How do I explain Dr. Pepper? I was like, I've never had to explain the flavor of Dr. Pepper or cola before.
It's just sugary.
There's no, I feel like there's no flavor comparison to even, like, what would you even compare that to?
Dr. Pepper. You compare Dr. Pepper to Dr. Pepper.
And they were like, oh my god, like, she was like, no, I wasn't kidding, like, they don't even know what soda tastes like.
That's, I mean, that's awesome.
And I was like,
that's really, really good.
And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. Like,
that's really good.
So, that was really cool, like, but it's all what you get, it's all what you get them used to.
Right.
You know, if you raise them on chicken fingers and pizza and soda.
That's what they know.
That's what they know. If you raise them on vegetables and avocados and healthy foods,
mm-hmm.
with the occasional pizza, chicken fingers and fries at, like, birthday parties and whatnot.
It's like your Friday night pizza.
Yeah, like
family,
that's what they're gonna know. And they're not going to know anything else because that's what they were. That's what they grew up on. It's all what you get used to. It's all what you adapt to.
Very true.
Not to mention, my opinion, again, I don't have a kid, but just logically speaking, it's actually easier, big picture in the long run, to change a child's eating habits than it is an adult. Because if you think about it like that, it's...
But you kind of condition them.
Yeah, exactly.
You condition
them. As an adult, like, it's hard to switch your own eating habits because... you've been eating that a certain way for 10, 20, however many decades.
Yes.
Now you're super used to it, and it's really drilled in your brain. It's super, like, truly all you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a kid, it's like if they're 10, 12 years old, like
they don't know.
They've only been eating that way for what?
Yeah.
Nine, 10 years. It's like, it's a lot easier to switch them then rather than wait another 20, 30 years and try to do it then.
Shit. Another two. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, for, I guess as a kid growing up for me, I mean, my mom and dad always cooked and,
yeah.
you know, they would make meatloaf or steak or like chicken and baked potato and...
Meatloaf and mac and cheese was my favorite combo.
And yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, meatloaf
was
pretty
obsessed
legit.
With meatloaf and mac and cheese. Like
meatloaf is legit.
Easy Craft mac and cheese with hot sauce and meatloaf.
With hot sauce.
I used to do meatloaf with barbecue sauce.
Oh, okay. Well.
And then mac and cheese with hot sauce, like Frank's hot sauce. That was
mac
like my favorite.
Hot sauce.
I always put mac and cheese, hot sauce on the mac.
Really?
And cheese.
Interesting.
Yeah. That was like my favorite dinner combo ever.
Okay. I would have to say that meatloaf was definitely one of my favorite dinners that my dad would make. Actually, I take that back. Fried chicken cutlets.
Ooh, fried chicken cutlets.
Fried chicken cutlets with
I used to put ketchup.
With like noodle ketchup.
Yeah, I don't know why.
The fuck, man.
I don't know why.
Hot sauce on your mac and cheese.
Oh well, yeah, it was so good. Oh, do this again to me.
I would say, yeah, chicken cutlets, fried chicken cutlets with egg noodles. My mom would make.
Oh,
egg
noodles. Egg
noodles, awesome.
My grandma used to make.
Is this,
it's gonna do
really?
It it's gonna do it
Facebook?
My favorite dinner, actually, from still to this day, my favorite dinner, honestly, is stuffed peppers with egg noodles.
Ooh.
Dude, my grandma used to make that. I would cheat with that. Not even gonna lie. I would have that right now. I don't know why this is not doing it.
Facebook, what's up, man? Nadine, I would love to read the rest of your comment.
It's not letting us see more.
Yeah.
Fun fact, McDonald's couldn't make it in Jamaica. The Jamaican people would not eat it.
Knew
it was probably garbage.
Gross.
Yeah. So companies are a lot of countries don't even allow that stuff because they know that it's disgusting.
Right.
You know, like when I went
I had McDonald's yesterday.
Oh man. I used to love McDonald's.
I had McDonald's
so much.
Yesterday.
I still love McDonald's.
I
don't eat
shit
it.
This weekend. Okay with it.
I ate like shit, and I'm proud of it, on Saturday.
Okay.
I went to a friend's engagement party.
Nice.
And I had onion rings.
Ooh.
French fries.
Ooh.
And I did like... I don't like hot dogs.
Okay.
And the hamburgers were kind of like...
Yeah?
Yeah, I wasn't really in the mood for them, because, like, you know, I've been kind of, like, vegetarian-ish for the last, like, 2 months.
All right.
I just don't feel good when I eat meat.
Fair enough.
Don't know why.
Interesting.
It'll probably go away in a couple months. Like, I've go through phases like that.
Do you have
like
a fever?
What?
Do you have a fever?
No.
Okay.
I checked. So I was like, you know what? I made sauerkraut with, like, those, you know those, like, onions in the sauce? Sabret, whatever the hell.
Yeah, they make them.
It's like for, meant to put on a hot.
Yes.
Dog.
Yeah.
So I did sauerkraut.
Okay.
With those onions and
sounds
baked
good.
Beans.
Mm.
I just ate it off the plate with a fork. It was awesome.
Interesting.
And I had like.
I don't really like baked beans.
I can eat cans of baked beans.
I don't, really like
I don't
beans.
But I could eat
cans.
I
can eat black beans. I can eat like kidney beans, but like
baked beans
and like
the baked
like
brown
like,
beans are my favorite. I can eat it. I can open the can and just eat it with a spoon.
Can't do it.
So good.
Can't
I've always been like that. But it was good. I had some wine and stuff like that.
Nice.
I had a beer.
Nice.
Just had a nice little Stella. Surprisingly, thankfully, I did not feel like shit the next day.
Good job.
Not at all.
That's good.
I had two serve. I went up for another serving of onion rings too. I love onion rings so much.
Onion rings are really, really delicious.
But yeah. I didn't feel like shit the next day, and I want to start actually doing. I started actually doing one meal a week where it was like really
good,
like actually a good dirty,
like a good cheat,
yeah,
good,
really
good.
Good.
I'm proud of you.
Tried gluten free pizza.
How'd that go?
My allergies were kind of kicked up, so I really couldn't fully taste it, but even not being able to taste it, it was pretty gross.
Fair enough.
It wasn't worth it.
I didn't think
it wasn't worth it.
I
had like two slices in this.
Stu Leonard's makes their own cauliflower pizza now.
Do they?
They do. I haven't eaten yet, so I can't tell you how it is. It's in the refrigerator.
I've been making cauliflower crust pizza like twice a week.
It's sick. It's really good. Your own cauliflower
pizza. Yeah, so I get the Cali Foods.
Okay.
Cauliflower Foods. So I did Cauliflower Foods plant-based pizza crust. This has been my favorite one. It's simple. I do Rao's.
Oh,
pizza
yeah.
sauce.
Yep.
I make a regular margarita
really
pizza sauce. I do pizza sauce. Kite Hill makes a vegan almond milk based ricotta.
Okay.
However you say it, I'm butchering it because I'm not Italian, but but it's awesome and it mixes in with the sauce.
Nice.
You know what I'm talking about? The red sauce with the cheese.
I know exactly.
I'm just gonna say cheese because I'm gonna butcher it. One of the Italian people are gonna be like, "What the hell are you talking about?" So I mixed that all together. I took the spoon like that, and I put chopped onions and sliced olives. Dude.
That sounds delicious.
So simple.
Sounds delicious.
Insane.
Sounds delicious. I like it.
I wish I had one in the freezer right now. I don't know why I didn't grab one from
that. That'd be nice.
Eileen.
I had,
My mom had 10 kids.
Damn.
Holy
That's
respect
awesome.
To her.
Yeah.
We didn't have a lot of money, so she would tell us pork chops were steak.
Nice.
To this day, we call them pork chops. Hey, you know what? Imagination is a powerful thing.
Yes, it is. I had...
pork chops sound good, too.
North Fork, there's a donut company that opened up right by my aunt's house.
Instagram story.
They make the best fucking donuts I've ever had. North Fork Donut Company... I love you guys. You guys are
that.
The fucking best.
I'm gonna cheat.
Your donuts are the shit.
Oh, they look
like
they look amazing even through Instagram stuff.
It was Samoa flavored.
Oh.
Almond Joy flavored.
Samoa, like the Girl Scout cookie.
The other one was a crumb cake type consistency on top.
Wow.
With like caramel. And then the other one was... Fuck, I forget the other one. I don't know, but they were all awesome.
Wow.
And they serve Sailaway on top. On tap.
Wow.
And the cans.
All right, this place
so,
is... I gotta visit this place.
I'll see you guys this weekend, because I'm gonna be back out there, so...
I gotta visit this place.
I'm gonna have more of you. And then I had a big fucking delicious bowl of linguine with, like, crab and shrimp and garlic and stuff on Saturday night.
Wow.
So good.
I'm good. I'm gonna cheat pretty hard when I go away.
But
so
that's not really the topic tonight because it's all about keto.
Yeah.
So, keto 101.
Keto 101 because everyone forgets the basics.
Mm-hmm.
Even us sometimes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Kim, I love donuts too.
Donuts are literally the best ever.
They really are. Kim, if you ever make it out east to like Matatuck area. Go to North Fork Donuts. They're right by Love Lane. Also a really good place, Love Lane Kitchen. Another shout out to them. So, hit them up. Delicious.
All right, so basics.
Basics. Back to the basics.
Keto, literally keto, like 101 basic. I tell everybody, well, how do you start? Because people read everything online and
mm-hmm.
they think they fill their head with all this nonsense. And I tell them very simply, I say, all right, keto is low carb, low sugar, moderate protein, high healthy fat.
Yeah.
That's as simple as it has to be. People, I find, overcomplicate a lot.
100%.
When it comes to keto, they think way too much into it.
Yep.
They overcomplicate it. They make it way more difficult than it needs to be. Eat high healthy fats, keep the protein pretty moderate, keep the carbs and sugar low. You don't have to stay under a certain number. You don't have to do this, that. Keep them low. Keep them moderate. Keep it high. It's very, very simple. It does not have to get more complicated than that.
Nope.
You don't have to go crazy tracking everything. In the beginning, it definitely helps so you know what you're doing.
Yes.
However, it's just don't overcomplicate it. Yes. It's not difficult. It's a very easy lifestyle to follow unless you make it more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah.
You know, like it can stay very simple, but it's all about how you're thinking about it. You can keep it simple or you can make it difficult.
Yeah. I mean, that's
when people
that's the number one thing, is that, yes.
Like, oh, it's too hard. It's like, it's not too hard. It's just the fact that you're depriving yourself and you think for some reason you need to stay under 15 to 20 grams of carbs to be keto.
Right.
And you're now like starving yourself thinking like, oh my God, I can't have this, I can't have this, I can't have this. It's like, people ask me all the time, oh, is this product keto? Is this keto?
It could be.
Exactly. It could be because guess what, guys? Keto
Everything. Is
a metabolic state you put your body in. Like,
I think that's another big thing.
A donut could be keto. If that's my only carbs and sugar for the day and I'm under my numbers, technically, okay.
It's keto.
But then on the other technical side, it spikes my blood sugar. So technically, it gets me out of keto.
Right.
So it depends on how you look at it, really.
I mean, that's a really big thing is that people go into places thinking about, oh, is this keto? Is this keto?
It's like
basically everything you eat is keto.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how it factors into your lifestyle.
Exactly.
And how you eat.
And on the other hand, too.
Yeah.
Like, I could have Siete wraps. Technically, on the label, are those keto friendly? No, they're higher in carbs. It's like 17 grams of carbs for two
wraps. But do they spike your blood sugar?
But they don't spike my blood sugar.
So there you go.
So I can get away with them.
Right.
They technically, for me, they're keto.
It's about trial and error.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, for someone else, for you, they might spike your blood sugar.
Right.
They might kick you out of a ketogenic fat burning state, and they might not for me. You know, that's as simple as it can be.
Right.
You know, like you can just go based on how you feel. You don't even have to test your blood sugar.
I would say, in regards to testing,
mm-hmm.
for me personally, I think I've since I've been doing it almost, I guess, religiously now for like almost 2 years, I think I've tested my ketones like 20 times, maybe. I definitely didn't test them when I started.
Yeah.
And I probably would have liked to, just so I knew straight up, but like I went off based on how I was feeling, and I knew that I was feeling really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
And to me, feeling really, really fucking good
mm-hmm.
trumps anything else.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because I feel that the way you feel is much more important than a number on a stick or a number on a monitor that you're taking.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, and it's...
Even with the ketone testing, that's another thing.
People are like...
Oh my God, I have to be in ketosis. You don't have to be in ketosis because... Honestly, half of you don't even know what ketosis is.
Correct.
Let's be real. And second, unless you're like treating something like a condition, like medical epilepsy,
right.
MS, then yeah, you can be in a state of ketosis with the checking your millimolars and ketones. Otherwise, go based on how you feel.
Yeah.
You don't have to waste money on ketone strips. You don't have to waste time pricking your finger to test your blood. You don't have to do any of that. Like literally, like I test my blood sugar levels, and I don't test my ketone levels. I have before. Rather than knowing for sure that there are a sufficient amount of ketones present in my blood, in my system, I'd rather know that foods are not spiking and crashing my blood sugar all day.
Right.
Because that's where my energy levels come in.
Correct.
My energy levels are stabilized. My energy's high. I feel good, I'm my cognitive function, I'm focused, I'm zoned in, and that's because my insulin, my sugar and insulin are not spiking and dropping all day.
Right.
You know, like a lot of people are, oh, like my energy's low, what do you have for me? And I'm like,
it's like, well, what are you eating?
Well, what are you eating? Because chances are 99% of the time when I have that conversation, they're eating foods that are constantly throughout the day spiking and dropping their sugar
Absolutely.
And insulin. And that takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy out. So
yes.
It drops your energy levels, and that's why you're
when your body's constantly going up and down, up
yeah.
and down, up and down. I mean, that's obviously going to make you
especially
feel tired.
Something like your glucose shooting up and your insulin you're bringing it down. Like, that's,
yeah,
you're now playing with hormones and certain levels that are going to make you exhausted. That's why you're at your desk nodding off before 2 p.m., you know, grabbing that coffee. Because you're starting your day with carbs and sugar. You're having a snack with carbs and sugar. You know, even if these people think they're doing it right, I start my day with oatmeal and fruit. Sounds pretty healthy to superficially.
Well, sure, it has a lot of sugar, though.
But it's pure carbs and sugar. And spiking your insulin, your glucose, your insulin's going to shoot up there to bring it down. And that's where you're becoming tired.
Right.
And spiking and dropping. You know, things like big Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving dinners.
Yeah, like holiday dinners.
Whatever holiday dinners. People are like, oh, it's like the, you know, you hear it all the time. Oh, it's like, you know, the food coma from, you know.
The old tryptophan.
The tryptophan and the turkey. And it's like, it's not the tryptophan and the turkey that's making you exhausted.
It's 40 sides that you have.
Yeah, it's the pure sugar and carbs that you're eating and the excess calories you're eating that are shooting your glucose up.
Turkey's great.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, the cranberries and the stuffing.
Yeah.
And the
not to mention, like, a lot of people don't realize when you eat food, your sugar and insulin rise a little bit anyway.
Right. Yes.
But 100%. When you're eating things with sugar and carbs, like the pure, like the sides
even
and stuff,
more.
Then it's going to skyrocket instead of raise, and your insulin's got to shoot up there to grab it and bring it down. So that's why people get exhausted after a big meal, you know, whether it's a holiday dinner or not. If you have a big, big meal and you're eating a lot, more than you normally do, that's why you're usually exhausted, you know, afterwards.
Correct. And the whole thing with a ketogenic lifestyle is that, so it's a, basically you're changing the way your body burns its fuel. So all this glucose that you're burning, you will now be burning fat as your fuel. So it's like, that's why if you eat lower sugar things, your body's gonna burn more fat and you're gonna have a lot more energy. So it's just, I mean, that's like the basis of a ketogenic lifestyle is how you get your fuel and your energy source from.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I find it funny when people think, you know, and again, it's not for everybody.
Correct.
There are certain there are certain sports and stuff like that. There are certain sports. Sorry, I was reading it. I realized that I just mid-sentence stopped. There are certain sports and stuff like that where people do have a better workout and do perform better with carbs, like CrossFit and stuff. CrossFit, people will, I know a lot of CrossFitters. You know, I used to do CrossFit. People will argue with me till the day I die. CrossFitters do not need carbs to do their workouts.
Right.
Now, having said that, everybody's different. You might need carbs to do your CrossFit workout. In general, you can run off of healthy, off of fat for fuel instead of carbs. Everyone's body is capable of running off of fat for fuel instead of carbs for fuel.
Yep.
That's how it's been since the dawn of time. Caveman days, like, cavemen were not eating carbs. They were eating animal fat and protein.
Shredded cavemen.
Yeah.
Were they fat?
No.
No. Because they were eating.
And they were doing high intensity workouts. They were chasing animals.
They were hunting and gathering.
I don't care how intense your CrossFit WOD is, there's nothing more intense than chasing down an animal because you need to eat that night.
And throwing a rock at it.
Yeah. Like, there's nothing.
Like,
there's nothing else like that. So, you know, even though in CrossFit, I was like, I did it for a couple months before I got hurt. So, like, I'm not an expert in CrossFit. I think I did pretty well for a rookie. But I was doing really well off of fat.
Yeah.
I was full of keto the entire time.
That's awesome.
And all the CrossFit of athletes and stuff, they're like, no, you need carbs. No, you need carbs. And I'm like, I get it.
Well, I mean, that goes back to such an old school way.
It's a very old school. And not to mention, you're a CrossFit athlete. You're a games athlete. Like, I'm not training to go to the CrossFit games. Like, I don't need to perform like you do.
Yes.
But if you're a games athlete, dude,
fucking eat how you
eat
want.
Your carbs.
Yeah.
Because one, the way you train, you're gonna stay shredded. And two, your carbs are gonna help you get a better workout. But what people don't realize is I just did it because it was something fun and different.
Yeah.
I'm not training to go to the games, I'm not training to compete, like, I don't care.
And
I did very well. I didn't burn myself out. Like, I went through the whole workout.
To dismiss that argument of them saying that you needed that, because I don't know if I've said this before in the podcast, but I don't know if you've heard of an athlete named LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm almost like 100% sure, that's how sure I am, that he follows a ketogenic lifestyle, or at least a low-carb lifestyle.
Yeah.
And if you don't know who LeBron James is, he's probably arguably the second greatest basketball player ever to play the game.
I don't even follow basketball, and I still agree with that.
Yeah.
Because he's a super talented.
And I don't know if you've seen his body, but he's
pretty
fucking shredded.
But that's what it is. It's like people don't realize, it's a very, like you said, it's an old school way of thinking, because your body, in general, the human body does not need
glucose. It's also nutritionists who say that you need, that also run a lot of these places, are partners with a lot of these places. And most of these people go on these nutrition plans that these nutritionists are, you know, are providing. So they're saying, look, you need to have this amount and this amount and this amount, and you need all the carbs to get all of your energy to get your workout in.
Yep.
But really, you don't need all.
And that's because
I mean, everyone's different.
Yeah.
Maybe they do need it.
Maybe they do. Everyone's different.
Maybe this athlete needs one and I don't need the other. You know, like.
And a lot of nutritionists are completely unaware of how fats work in the body.
Correct.
So they think that glucose and carbs are the only source of fuel that the body can. They're not. Half of the nutritionists aren't aware that you can run off of healthy fats.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, including nutritionists, dietitians, you name it, doctors, they don't know the science behind how fat breaks down in the body and how you can sufficiently run off of fat for fuel instead of carbs and glucose for fuel.
Right.
That's why I tell people, they're like, oh, you need carbs. I'm like, you don't, though. Like, did you see that study that came out with the recently in carb? I think it was BS.
I think, Eileen, are you talking about,
I saw
the article, I'm pretty sure you're relating, you're mentioning the fucking article, I can't speak, about a doctor saying that people actually need carbs, or people need, or eating a keto lifestyle will actually shorten your lifespan, and you actually need carbs, but I read the whole thing. It says that people that follow a low-carb lifestyle as the ketogenic lifestyle will cut their lifespan by, I think they said, like 4 years compared to people that eat a more moderate carb intake. But they also said that if people are eating, like, they mentioned maybe you should get your carbs rather than from white bread and rice and pasta and everything. You should get it from vegetables and meats and healthier carbohydrates. And I was just like, why'd you have to put this fucking article out?
Yeah, that reminded me, actually.
Obviously, it's just clickbait, but.
Yeah. I have an article that I read. Well, I think I actually told you about it. I posted it on my story, bashing it because it was garbage. It said that the ketogenic diet increases your risk of type 2 diabetes.
So,
I was hysterical laughing at that, and here's what the article said. I read it like 4 times to make sure I was like reading the right thing, because apparently this was like supposed to be like a doctor writing it, which automatically made me think it was bullshit. So they said that low carb, high fat, ketogenic diet contributes to type 2 diabetes by making your body insulin resistant. So here's what I just from reading that article in my head, I automatically broke it down and threw some logic on top of it. So just so you guys can put your minds at ease as well, the ketogenic diet does not put your body, it doesn't make your insulin resistant. What it does is, I can see how they would confuse it. As doctors, I don't think they should have confused it, because it's very simple. But instead of making it insulin resistant, what happens is you're eating foods that don't spike your glucose, so your body doesn't have to produce as much insulin, which is actually a healthier thing, which can actually reverse type 2 diabetes. Not having to produce as much insulin to bring your glucose down all day and becoming insulin resistant are two completely different things. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, the study was done on mice. So, irrelevant on all accounts. Mm-hmm. I don't care how closely related a mouse's body is to a human's body. Mice are not humans.
It's always great when all these articles that get written
are
always relate back to studies done on mice.
Yeah.
Granted, that's how most studies are done.
Yeah.
But
even still, like,
do a fucking study on, get a fucking group of 100 people.
Yeah.
And have them follow a ketogenic lifestyle. And get some of them that have actual issues, like type 2 diabetes,
yeah,
or obesity, or high blood pressure, or whatever.
Type 2 diabetes?
Okay.
The person has type 2 diabetes anyway. What's the harm? Have them do keto for a month. The only thing that can happen is they stay the same.
Right.
Keto's not going to make type 2 diabetes worse.
Right.
That's a harmless study that you could do on a human being with type 2 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just, these studies are, like, insane.
Yeah.
And they try so hard. Did you see the one that came out recently that said coconut oil is poison?
Yeah. A professor said that.
Yeah.
Right?
A professor.
Yeah. But the other thing about keto is that when you do start a ketogenic lifestyle, I mean, just as for me, which worked, may not be for everybody, I did track all of my food.
Mm-hmm.
When I for the first like 2-3 months, I'd say I tracked everything I eat.
Oh, me too.
How much I eat. I weighed all of my food. You know, so
measuring cups and food scales.
Yeah, like I drove my fucking wife insane on Sundays or whatever. And I think it's important when you're first starting for those first couple months that you do that, because then it'll show you exactly how much you are eating.
Yeah.
How much, and you should know how many calories you should be taking in, because sometimes you can overeat. But at the same time, a ketogenic lifestyle, it's kind of hard to overeat because you stay satiated for such a long time.
That's exactly why when I do my coaching and I sell my books now.
Yeah, like, your fit books.
I don't put anything in there as far as portion sizes.
Okay.
And that's because it's extremely hard to overeat on a high-fat, low-carb diet.
Yes.
And not to mention, especially when you're starting out, the portion sizes really don't mean as much as long as there's the right stuff on your plate.
Correct.
You also have a brain, and you're an adult person, and you know that, let's be real, you know when you're eating a plate of food, you know what's too much and what's not. You'd have to have 2-3 serving plates of food for it to be too much.
Yes.
You're having one plate of food, you have the right stuff on your plate, your plate's properly portioned as far as how many, what kind of fats are on there, you know, big amount of fat, a little bit of protein, some vegetables. You don't need to worry about, okay, I have to have a cup of this, I have to have 12 ounces of this. And I did the same thing Marty did. I did it for actually even longer because I was crazy with it.
Yeah.
And then I realized, well, now I'm just eyeballing everything.
Yeah, because at that point, you know what 3 ounces of chicken are.
You can
3 ounces of meat are. Like, you know exactly how much you're pouring or eating.
Yeah.
Because once you get used to that, then you don't really have to track. I mean, by all means, if you feel that you need to track your food religiously,
some people like to
because it'll keep you on track, then by all means, please do it. Because
yeah.
I'm not trying to say don't do it all. But if you're getting, like, so frustrated that, like,
you're letting it run your life.
Like, if you're like, fuck, I need to track this and this and this. Like,
yeah.
If you go out to eat and like you're like, fuck, what is 3 ounces of steak? And what is this? Then it makes it not sustainable because you're going to drive yourself insane and you're not going to want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
So for those first 3 months, I'd say 3 months, track your food.
Do it.
Watch. And when you track it, look to see on your plate what you're eating and how much it actually looks like. Because after a while, you're going to say, oh, I'm cooking this steak tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly how much I can eat.
Yep.
I know exactly what I can put on my plate tonight. And you can also eat the rest of it tomorrow for lunch. You kill 2 birds with 1 stone.
Hell yeah.
Fucking just meal prep for tomorrow.
Yeah.
With a healthy lunch. With a keto lunch that you just made for dinner. So, I mean, just simple ways to, you know, keep your life simple and not overcomplicate the entire thing.
Yeah.
Because as we said in the beginning, as Mike said in the beginning, people fucking overcomplicate.
It does not have to be hard. It doesn't have to be hard.
It's not a hard lifestyle to follow.
When people come up to me and they're like, oh, I tried keto a few months ago so hard. I was like, I like laugh almost because, like, not to be even mean and laugh at them. I laugh because it's like, every time I'm like, whoa, what were you doing? 95% of the time they were told me what they were doing and it was completely off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I try to tell people, like, yes, you have to find what's right for your body, but at the same time, like, keep it simple. Like, you don't have to be, okay, 75% of this, 20 grams of carbs.
And make it fun.
Make it fun.
Dude, make it fun, too. Like, don't fucking Like, if you're really serious about it, find ways to make the way you eat fun. Because, like, cooking your dinner and cooking lunch and all that stuff, you can make it fun for yourself. I mean, so it's just a matter of not overcomplicating things, you know? I'm all about fun in life, guys.
Yeah, it's got to be fun. Literally, it's got to be fun. Brittany, yeah, my point exactly. I have type 1, I'm type 1 diabetic, and I eat low-carb paleo. Brittany's my girlfriend, for those of you who don't know, so she literally eats all the same shit that I do, and I'm low-carb paleo keto, so this applies to the diabetes thing that we were talking about before. I've been studying a lot on type 1 and 2 diabetes and food, and that's why I'm so, like, about it. Yeah, my blood sugar has always been on the high side, and since changing my diet, my blood sugar has yet to spike. And that's a type 1 diabetic. So type 2 diabetes, it's a little bit easier to play around with. It's still a serious disease, but it's reversible. And type 2 diabetes is not quite as tedious as far as nutrition goes with that. Type 1 diabetes, however, is a little bit more...
Yes.
You know, that can be a little dangerous if you're experimenting. I wouldn't experiment on a type 1 diabetic human being. So that's a little bit more tedious because a lot can go wrong. And, you know, the effects of, you know...
Just so I can clarify.
Yeah, go
ahead. For type 1,
yeah.
Aren't you normally born with a type 1 diabetes?
Either you're born with it or it becomes at an early age, or you can actually develop it as an adult.
See, I thought you can develop type 2.
Both.
You can develop both.
Developing so type 1, like late onset type 1, I think it's called, or late whatever it is, you can develop it I met a lady a few weeks ago. She's 34. She was just diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, pre-type 1 diabetes,
okay.
Like onset, 3 weeks prior to me meeting her.
Wow.
I think that's very rare.
Right.
Usually, Brittany developed it when she was 8.
Okay.
Usually, that's how it goes. You develop it when you're young, or you're born with it.
And type 1 is, because I know, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
But type 1 is not irreversible. Is that correct?
As of right now...
It's manageable, but it's not irreversible.
As of right now...
And for type 2, it is irreversible.
Technically, like the PR version, like technically, there is no cure for type 2 diabetes.
Okay.
Which is why doctors give them insulin. However, there is a cure for type 2 diabetes because if you think about it really, really simple logic, how did you develop type 2 diabetes?
That's okay.
From eating excess carbs and sugar, right? So if you... gave yourself type 2 diabetes through food, why couldn't you
just
reverse engineer it?
Right.
If you gave yourself type 2 diabetes with excess carbs and sugar, simply stop eating carbs and sugar, and why wouldn't it go away?
Okay.
I mean, that's just simple logic.
There is
a full blown cure for type 2.
Okay.
There is, as of right now, there is no cure for type 1.
Okay.
Because type 2 is when your body produces too much insulin from when your blood sugar constantly spiking.
Mm-hmm.
Type 1, however, is your body does not produce any insulin or not enough insulin. So when your blood glucose skyrockets from foods,
yep.
your blood sugar just rises really high, really fast, really high, and your body doesn't produce the insulin to go up and bring it down.
Okay.
When your blood sugar drops, you know your body doesn't know how to level it up. So it's like when type 1 diabetics usually have, you know, give themselves insulin injections.
Yep, yep, yep.
Now in this day and age, they have, you know, like Brittany, you know, insulin pump, and you set it to the carbs and it covers your insulin. You know, it's like a plastic pancreas type of thing.
Right.
So it gives you the insulin that your body does not produce.
Okay.
So, you know, if her blood sugar was to skyrocket, you know, she would just give herself, you know, the appropriate amount of insulin, and that insulin, exogenous insulin would bring it down.
Okay.
And, you know, if her blood sugar drops, you know, she has a couple of gummy bears and it levels it out. I keep gummy bears in the house for that reason. Like, my dad told me the other day, he was like, honestly, I had one like a few weeks ago because I was like, you know what? Like, I haven't had gummy bears, like real gummy bears in a while.
Like here, bro?
I had one gummy bear. I was like, I can eat this whole thing right now. They were so good. Like, insanely good. Like, I forgot
gummy
how
bears
good
are, I'd say gummy bears and Reese's Pieces are hands down my two favorite candies in the world.
Did you see Smart Sweet's Swedish Fish and Sour Patch Kids?
How are they?
They're really good, but and I hate to talk anything but positive about them. They spike your blood sugar, and they put the creator of the company put carrageenan in both of her new things to, I believe, make them vegan instead of using gelatin.
Is that what spikes the blood sugar?
They use chicory root fiber. One of the customers came in today and said that he ate an entire bag of Swedish Fish and his blood sugar went up 30 points.
Wow.
Which is pretty significant.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
That does suck.
The company doesn't claim to be keto.
They're just an alternative.
The fiber that they use is spike blood sugar.
Okay.
But I mean, listen, they're not. She doesn't claim to be keto. She doesn't claim to be diabetic friendly. So I mean, they're just a good alternative. There's 3 grams of sugar per bag. I mean, it's a great healthy alternative.
Right.
If you're a person without type 1 or type 2 diabetes, then you can afford a little bit of a glucose insulin spike, and then it balances out. Go for it. Enjoy them. Bring them to the movies. Do whatever.
I got you.
So
I enjoy their gummy bears.
Yeah, just be careful also. Just a little heads up. Don't eat the whole bag, because you will probably shit your brains out.
Oh, wow.
A couple of customers came in and they were like,
really?
Yeah, they were like,
that's...
I tell people all the time, I said, trust me, I don't care if you have an iron stomach, do not eat the whole bag. Mm. That's a lot of fiber and vegetable IMO sweetener, and like, there's a lot of fiber. It's pretty much all fiber.
Interesting.
There's, I think, 32 grams of carbs. It's like 28 grams of fiber. Like, it's just pure fiber. So
duly noted.
If you're going to buy Smart Sweets, they are phenomenal, but make sure you don't have anything to do that day. Because if you eat the whole bag, it'll ruin your day and probably the next day. So you're probably going to be running to the bathroom a lot. Just a little, heads up. It's a good company.
Public service announcement.
Yeah, I mean, I learned that the hard way.
But they are really good.
They're phenomenal. They're new flavors. The Swedish Fish and the Sour Patch Kids. Dude, Swedish Fish are on point.
Okay.
Like, on point.
I gotta get
some. Phenomenal.
I gotta try them.
Cool packaging, too.
Yes, I saw them.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool.
Where are we at, anyway?
Oh, well. We'll do a little Q&A.
We could do that.
Shit, there's only 10 minutes left.
I know.
Let's do some Q&A, peeps. Q&A for Keto 101. If you have any questions about the basics, let's get them out. Keto 101 basics questions.
Or if you guys have any questions in general.
Yeah. Also, if you need a beginner's starter kit, I actually did turn my book into an ebook. So I can send that out to all you out-of-state people. That's a very, it's an easy, foolproof, simple, basic way to start. Food lists, what to eat, what to stay away from, sample meal plan. I got meal ideas, recipes and stuff, some information on net carbs, macronutrients, bulletproof coffee recipes and stuff like that. So I did turn it into an ebook. Whoever wants one, you can just private message me.
I'm going to throw this into...
Questions, guys. Questions.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Let's get them going.
And if you have any other questions, just ask them.
And remember,
they don't necessarily have to be about
keto. They don't have to be about this.
I mean, that's our topic for tonight. So.
And remember, YouTube, iTunes, yes. SoundCloud, Google Play. Go to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notifications. Go to iTunes, rate us 5 stars.
Yeah, let's do it.
Means a lot.
Get
us
up there, guys.
Takes you guys.
It's been a while since we've been on the air.
Yeah.
We get it.
I've been doing 2 tablespoons of MCT daily for approximately 18 months. Should I up it? Nadine, if you can handle more than 2 tablespoons, go for it. 2 tablespoons a day, every day for 18 months is more than enough time for you to be able to handle more.
Yeah.
I don't see why 1 more tablespoon a day to up those fats and increase the cognitive function and everything would hurt.
I don't think it would. Experiment with it.
Yeah, see.
Because
Maybe try to space it out, too.
Yeah. I would say... in regards to MCT oil, if you're just starting to take it, stick to the serving size, guys. Because just like the Smart Sweets thing, you're going to be going to the bathroom a lot.
Yeah.
Like once every hour for about 8 hours.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No.
At all.
No.
So,
first time I tried MCT oil, I dumped it in my coffee.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible.
My stomach, I didn't even go to the bathroom. I was nauseous and bloated for 4 days straight.
I never got nauseous.
Like, I got it. I was nauseous straight through for like 4 days straight.
And it always happens when I woke up
to
when
I went to sleep.
And like,
ooh, that sucks.
I get to work and I'm like, all right, I gotta go.
Yeah.
And then like an hour later, I'm like, yep, there we go. And then like on the hour, almost every hour.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Not good. No. Sorry for the TMI tip.
Stick to the serving size on the
especially
MCT
when you're
oil.
Starting. But if you've been taking it for a while and your stomach can handle it, then by all means, up it. But experiment with it too. You don't want to, you know.
Try to get a good quality MCT oil. Right. Believe it or not, not all MCT oils are created equal. There are better MCT oils. I like Bulletproof's Brain Octane. And I also like Perfect Keto's Pure C8. Which is actually better than Brain Octane, in my opinion.
I like Sports Research as well.
Sports Research is a really good one also. Their bottles are sick looking,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So Sports Research is a really good one. Brain Octane from Dave Asprey's Bulletproof.
Mm-hmm.
And Perfect Keto's Pure C8, which is really cool. So make sure.
And it's pure fat, guys.
It's pure fat.
It's
30, also,
like 30 grams of fat, I think.
Garden of Life as well.
Okay.
They came out with a really cool MCT. It's actually USDA organic and non-GMO.
Mm-hmm.
Which I've literally never seen in an MCT
before.
So that's cool. But yeah, it's pure fat. Super easy way to up your fats for the day. You know,
and it's very healthy fat.
Yeah, it's very healthy. Extracted straight from the coconut. You know, you can put it on or in almost anything because it doesn't taste or smell like anything. So you can put it in your coffee, your tea. You can make a salad dressing with it. I probably wouldn't cook with it, but keep it, you know, room temperature or cool.
And just as a heads up, I would also, if you're gonna use it in like any beverage, I'd either suggest getting like a little hand mixer to mix it, because it doesn't always mix that well.
Yeah, it'll sit on top.
Sometimes it'll just leave like a fucking oil spill on top of your coffee.
Yeah.
If you want a non-mixable MCT oil, I would suggest buying an emulsified MCT, because then you can just squirt it in there and
stir it in,
and it's good to go. But yeah,
Kim, let's hear some funny keto myths you hear often. My favorite keto myth is...
Well, I wonder if yours is the same as mine.
I have to stay under 20 grams of carbs for the day to be keto.
That's a good one.
Hmm.
That's a good one.
No, you don't. Because if you have 50 pounds to lose and I am doing it for health, why would we stay under the same amount of carbs for the day? I have to tell
because
people...
Because your body's the same. That's why.
Exactly. Everyone's the same.
Everyone's the same.
Everybody's
body's the same.
I tell people at work. I tell people, I say... It's like saying, okay, your car's broken. Bring it to the shop. But what if I drive a Benz and I can't take it? I'm not taking my Benz to the corner car care because it needs German parts and it needs this, it needs that. You drive a Ferrari. You're not taking your Ferrari to Pep Boys.
It's the same kind of car, though.
Yeah.
Guys.
Come on.
It's the same body.
What?
Fuck. Come on. Everyone's
like,
fucking different.
And my other one is, it's not a myth. It's just a funny thing that I like to hear. So I'm not allowed to have this. I'm not allowed to have tomatoes.
Oh, that's a good one.
I'm not allowed to have tomatoes. I'm not allowed to have carrots. I'm not allowed to have this.
I
look at people and I go, you're a full-grown adult. You're allowed to have whatever you want because you make your own choices with food. It's just what's friendly for this lifestyle and what's not. You're allowed to have whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you what you can and can't have. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're a grown adult.
You're a grown-ass woman.
You're a grown-ass man or woman. Or man-woman.
Yeah.
Whatever. Either way.
You're a grown-ass
person
who you identify as.
Yeah. I just assume the genders. Shit. So, make sure you...
There goes our ratings.
Allow. Hopefully they go up. Allowed to do... You're not allowed to do this. You're allowed to do whatever the hell you want. I'm allowed to have a pipe of Häagen-Dazs a day. If that fits my ketogenic lifestyle, then cool.
Not suggested, but fucking go for it if you want to.
Yeah.
My favorite is that... When people first ask you, oh, wow, you lost a lot of weight, what are you doing? It's like, oh, I don't say I do keto. I just say I eat a lot of healthy fat. I eat a lot of fats.
I do that. I never say I do keto.
I'm just like, I eat a lot of fats. I don't really eat bread, pasta, rice. I don't eat any of that. Eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of healthy oils, like olive oil, avocado oil, you know, things like that. And that's kind of all I do. And they're like, oh, doesn't even all that fat, though, raise your cholesterol?
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm like, no.
Shut up.
Nope, I don't. They're like, but isn't, like, fat really bad for you? No. It's actually really good for you.
Yeah.
It's actually really good for you. It also depends on what kind of fats you're eating.
Yeah.
If you're fucking downing a glass of bacon grease, that's not healthy.
Whoa, that's a good point. That's where keto gets a bad rap.
Sure.
Is when people go, oh, it didn't work for me. Okay, most of those people are eating a stick of butter and a pound of bacon a day.
Mm.
Okay, that's not the right type of way to do a keto lifestyle.
No.
You're not getting the nutrients you need. That's not a healthy way to eat. No. Technically, is it keto friendly?
It is.
Probably, yeah.
Is it healthy?
But no. Are you going to screw yourself up and blame it on keto? Yeah. Meanwhile, that's not a keto lifestyle. That's just eating bacon and butter. That's why when people do the butter, the beef and butter fast and the egg fast, and they screw themselves up.
That's another great myth.
You know, they screw themselves up, and then they're like, oh, I got messed up. I have to go to the doctor. I got messed up. My numbers were off because of keto. No, guys, it wasn't because of keto. It was because you're a dumbass and did something that you read online.
Because you wound up fucking taking the grease from the bacon that you cooked with.
And like putting it in your coffee, like... What do you think is going to happen? Come on. Even a good quality bacon. You eat a pound of bacon a day and a stick of butter a day, whether it's grass-fed or not. It's
still not good for you.
That's not... You're a human being. You need things like vegetables and green stuff. You need vitamins and minerals and nutrients.
Let's also say this.
Don't blame it on keto.
Big keto myth. Mike kind of just mentioned it before in his myth about not being able to eat this certain food.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it before. You can eat whatever the fuck you want.
Yep.
Okay? You can eat your fruits, suggested fruits, maybe some strawberries and blueberries.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they're very low on the glycemic index. But you can still eat fruit.
Yeah.
You can eat watermelon if you want, because it's mostly fucking water.
Yeah. I think it's like 90%.
For vegetables? Eat whatever fucking vegetables you want.
Yeah.
Most vegetables are really fucking healthy.
Yeah.
Potatoes, maybe stay away from, because they might spike your blood sugar.
I got yuca.
Yuca.
Best market.
Yuca's good.
I found the actual yuca, and those don't spike my blood sugar.
Okay.
I don't know about the actual yuca, but the cassava stuff. Cassava and yuca are the same thing. Cassava wraps and cassava chips, and those don't spike my blood sugar.
Right.
So I'm going to chop up the yuca, soak them in coconut oil, and I'm going to make yuca fries. And I'm going to test my blood sugar.
That sounds good.
Because yuca is a very... minerally dense vegetable.
Yes.
And it's not supposed to be high glycemic. It's supposed to be a resistant starch.
Right.
It's not supposed to have much of an effect on your blood sugar.
Okay.
So I'm going to test that out because I had yuca fries once. I had them at a restaurant in Brooklyn, so I'm definitely not going to come out like I had them.
Put a little flaky sea salt on it.
Yeah, I'm going to make them really good. I think you have to, I read on Pinterest, you have to boil them first.
It's cute. On Pinterest.
I love Pinterest.
So do I.
I love Pinterest. But I was like, you have to boil them first, and then you have to,
You do have to.
It's a very hard vegetable, so I guess you have to soften it up a little bit. I'm gonna do that tomorrow on my day off. But I had yuca fries at this restaurant in Williamsburg one time. I was like, I didn't even know there were yuca fries. Like at the time, it was years ago. I didn't even know what the hell yuca was. I thought it was just like
yuca fries.
I thought it was like a spiced fry. They tasted just like French fries. Like, they were a little off. I thought maybe it was, like, a weird batch.
Yeah, they
didn't. And then my friend was like, no, you French idiot, there's yuca fries. And I was like, wow, those are really good.
Mind blown.
Yeah, mine was definitely blown.
Mind blown.
From that moment on, I was like, I need to do stuff with yuca and cassava.
I've been roasting tomatoes a lot lately with my dinners.
Hmm.
I've been, last week I did, asparagus.
Ooh.
Roasted asparagus and roasted cherry tomatoes. And tonight I made some salmon for dinner, so I roasted some cherry tomatoes with that. It's becoming one of my favorites. It's pretty legit. Roasted tomatoes
sounds
are
really
awesome.
Good, actually.
One of my favorites. You guys have any other questions for us? Don't forget to go on iTunes and SoundCloud and YouTube and Google Play. I may have heard some news today that the podcasts on Google Play may be getting taken away and they may be going strictly to Google Podcasts.
Huh.
Gonna have to find that information out, but you can still find us. Either if you have Google Podcasts or Google Play, you'll find us on there.
Yeah.
And if you do, fucking rate us and subscribe to us, especially on iTunes and YouTube and SoundCloud.
subscribe and rate.
Yeah,
you know, subscribe and rate. I've been listening to a lot of Ben Greenfield. He's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I know.
He was talking about how he went out to like a, you know, whatever, a trip or something, and they were going, him and his kids and his friend, and they stumbled upon a field of asparagus.
Okay.
Wild asparagus.
Interesting.
He said he brought it back, he ate it. He said he cooked it in bare bone broth, which is cool. I didn't even know that was a thing, but he said it wasn't really asparagus. He said it was this thing called Baptisia. It apparently looks like asparagus, but it's very high levels of nicotine.
Oh, wow.
So he was like, him and his kids and his friend were like OD'd on nicotine for like 2 days straight.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it looks just like asparagus.
Guys,
like,
PSA, don't eat wild asparagus.
Yeah.
Unless you know it's asparagus.
It was crazy. It was a crazy story.
I thought you were going to be like, they were hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Nah, that would have been even funnier. Not for his 9
not,
kids.
Not for his kids. That would have been some experience.
Alright, well.
Don't do mushrooms, guys.
Don't do drugs.
You see good shit.
Alright.
I don't speak from experience.
We're at an hour.
Oops, I meant to call BS on the studies, not you guys. No, we get it.
I figured.
We know we're not BS. We speak the truth.
The truth.
Truth. Double OF.
Well, all right,
cool.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back.
As always, welcome back.
We're glad we got to do our podcast today.
Yeah.
Next week's Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
See what's going on. By the way, I felt like beard's coming out really thick.
I shaved mine.
I know you did.
I couldn't stand it anymore.
What the fuck, man?
Couldn't do it. It got so, like...
I know. I saw your Instagram video. I'm like, who is this person?
It gets like, I can't tame it the right way. I gotta figure it out.
I get it.
I shaved, and then this, it's gonna... I'm gonna have a full beard again in like 5 days.
Well, it's fine. You should.
Yeah.
You should. You look very, distinguished without the beard, though. Right. I did. Guys, what do you think? Mike should keep his beard?
Yeah, let's do a little poll. Should I keep the beard? Should I get the beard back, or should I leave it scruff? Can't have a baby face.
And should I just never shave again?
A big, epic, like Santa Claus beard?
Kelly, you don't get a vote.
Get a little braid.
Love you.
All right, well,
fine. You guys can vote later.
Vote later. Because I need to know.
Leave it in the comments.
I respect our listeners and viewers.
Exactly.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Hopefully Keto Basics 101 gets you kind of kick-started.
If you have any questions, feel free to ask us in the comment section.
For sure.
You can hit us up, DM us, slide into the DMs, ask us some keto questions, ask us any health questions that you have. Don't forget... Mike's got his Fit Journals.
Fit Journals. I'm going to think of a better name, but for now they're called Fit Journals.
I think it works.
Not bad, right?
It's a good name.
And I made them into ebooks, so I can straight up email the PDF.
Look at that.
And a lot of information in there for a very, very small price. Probably too small, but hey.
Hey.
I want to help people at the same
time. Exactly.
So let me know if you want one, and we'll keep you guys updated on Labor Day podcast.
Yeah. And don't forget, you can buy Sail Away Coffee at sailawaycoffee.com. Use the code KETOMM for 10% off your order. 10. And they only ship their coffee to certain parts of the Northeast.
Yeah.
Check the map on there. I'm sorry for the cross-country people.
Sorry.
Just fucking sucks. Can't do anything about it.
Maybe one day.
One day. But you can buy sick merch.
Yes, you can.
And bad coffee.
Yes.
Guys, we love you. Have a good night.
Peace out.
If we don't see you on Labor Day, have a happy Labor Day.
Yeah. Have a happy keto Labor Day.
keto. Fuck Labor Day. Boom.